All right, our reading will begin in verse number 33 of chapter number 5. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Thetis rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, but he was killed. And all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God.' They were convinced by him, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. Then they ordered them to speak in the name of Jesus, ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go." Amen. Now I want you to just turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor, but you ain't got to grab him. Just turn to your neighbor. Look your neighbor square in the eye as you turn to him. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
who
are you fighting?
Neighbor,
who
are you fighting?"
Amen.
You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Who Are You Fighting?" You know, as we look at this particular scripture, the one thing that is prominent within the book of Acts, what is prominent in the book of Acts is the movement of God's Holy Spirit. What is prominent of the book of Acts is through the Spirit moving through the people of God. I want you to know that folk aren't happy when Jesus was being lifted up, because Jesus specifically told them, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men, women, and children unto myself." So as these brothers were preaching and teaching the gospel, because we talked about a few weeks ago about how, you know, they were brought before the Sanhedrin for the first time in chapter number 4, but they realized it was about less of me and more of him. And as we looked at that, they realized they had to do what they did because they had been commanded by the Lord to do it. And they realized that the only reason why they were still where they were and growing is because Jesus was blessing them. When you know that it's nobody but the Lord who has brought you this far, turned your life around, and is allowing you to breathe right now, you ain't going to let nobody tell you you got to sit down and shut up because God has been way too good to you. You don't know my story. You don't know how good he has been. So there is no way I'm going to act like God hasn't done nothing for me. Do I got a witness in God's house? You see, and what is happening here in this story, here we go once again, Reverend Rose.
All right.
These apostles are back in the temple. They are preaching about Jesus. And people, see, it's one thing if you just talking loud. No, you saying something, but ain't nobody responding to it. They were saying something, and if nobody responded to what they were saying, then it doesn't matter. But when you start saying something that is not of your own will or your own way, but But you are allowing the spirit that has anointed and appointed you and filling you. And as you are speaking, it is God using you as the vessel, but God is speaking through you and touching the folk who are hearing you. And now they are responding, and now they're drawing closer. Now they want to hear more. Now they want to understand more about what Peter and the other apostles are talking about, this Jesus, and how he's here to give us salvation, how he's here to heal and deliver, how he's here to make a way for us. Then all of a sudden, folks started listening. Started coming closer. And as that happened, now the Sanhedrin and Reverend Dab saying, I got to go deal with these fools again. So what they did was they got the guards. The guards went again and grabbed them. But they didn't hit them. They just politely said, could you come with us, please? Go back and read chapter 5. You know why they did that? They were afraid that if they had to attack these dudes or hit these men, that they would have been stoned. So they just politely just ushered them out of the temple. And when they ushered them out of the temple, they brought them again to the Sanhedrin. And as they are sitting there or standing there, in the presence of the Sanhedrin. As I told you, the Sanhedrin sits in a circle around you. So again, they had circled the wagons a second time. Figuring that it didn't work the first time, but this second time, we gonna get them for real, for real. And when they did this, they came and said to them, going back to verse 28, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, you and determined. Yes, yeah, Lord help. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. It's all good. Amen. So we say, have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. Yes. But check out what Peter said. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you have killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses to these things. And so it is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to them, to those who obey him. Do you understand that we have the Holy Spirit? Because we obey God. And since we are being obedient to God, we ain't trying to impress man. We are here to glorify God. Because as we glorify God, that's when the changes come. Do you understand? As long as we've been doing stuff our way, it ain't going to ever change nothing. It's when we do things God's way that things begin to change. We see the healing, the delivering. We see things start to happen. Do I got a witness in God's house? In your own life, you remember when you did things your own way? Where did it get you? But when you say, Lord, I surrender all. All to thee I give. And once you did that, what did the Lord do? Didn't he open up doors for you? Didn't he bless you? Didn't he heal you? Didn't he deliver you? Do I got a witness in God's house? So when we think about all the Lord has done for us, and Peter and all the apostles said, you know what? We got to obey God. Because the only reason why I'm here is because of God. I recognize I couldn't breathe without God. I couldn't move without God. I wouldn't be in my right mind without God. And what you want me to do is shut up about what the Lord has done? I cannot stop. Because you just don't know. This is what the apostles were telling them. But let me tell you how they got under their skin. What they said, see all y'all around here? Talking about the Sanhedrin? Y'all the ones responsible for killing Jesus. If y'all hadn't did what y'all did, Jesus would still be alive. But the reality is, it had to happen. But the one thing is that he had to be the Lamb of God who sacrificed himself for the entire world so that we could have the opportunity to have the forgiveness of our sins by the Father through the Son. And since we know that's how the process works, what they should have done is rather than get angry, rather than want to kill them, they should have embraced what they were being told. But thank God for Gamaliel that it is written in here. Because it tells us in verse 33, they wanted to kill them. But then Gamaliel said, hold on, y'all, wait a minute. Before I say anything, y'all, just dismiss these men. And he said to the Sanhedrin, which he was a member of, it tells us that he was well respected by everybody.
All right.
So folk respected him for what he did as a theologian. And what he went on to say is this. There was a man who got 400 to rise up. But when they killed him, the 400 disappeared. Then there was another who rose up around the time of the census. Got folk to follow him. Once he was killed, everybody else disappeared. But the one thing that we got to catch here, what he was saying is, if it's about the people, if it's about a person, if you kill the person, then everything associated with them will die. But what Gamaliel was saying was that after Jesus was crucified, and they talk about now he has been resurrected, he doesn't now have less followers, Sister Archer. He got more. There's not less of them. Mike, it's a whole lot more of them. So, because that right there is what Gamaliel is seeing and saying to the Sanhedrin, now y'all, this ain't like the other two situations. When the other two situations happened, once we got the leader, everything just disappeared. But in this situation, these individuals, and even look at these dudes here, none of them are really highly educated. They got a tax collector up in there. You know, he got to be halfway educated because he got to grab the money. And he got a hobnob. But the majority of those who were following Jesus were just considered to be ordinary individuals who didn't have a whole lot. But once they grabbed a hold of Jesus, they had everything. Oh, do I got a witness in God's house? Don't you know that once you got Jesus, you have everything that you need? Because whatever you are lacking in, the Lord's going to supply you with it. And what Gamaliel is saying is that church, not church, but to my fellow Sanhedrin, if we ain't careful, we can find ourselves fighting against God. And that's where we got the sermon heading from. Who are you fighting? Because as the people of God, we got to recognize where's the fight. Now, I'm not talking about putting them up and going to blows, but you got to understand that Jesus was and is a fighter. He came to this earth to fight for our salvation. He came to fight so that we could be reconciled back to the Father. Don't you ever think Jesus was a wimp and folk walked all over him. Jesus was a fighter who came to bring upon change. And he would not allow anybody to cause him to sit down and shut up. And his disciples got their cues and their examples from walking with him for over 3+ years. They saw that Jesus fought. He fought all the way to the end. But don't you know that when they hung him up on that cross, they figured that they was taking the fight out of Jesus. As they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, they figured that they had taken the fight out of Jesus. Since the moment they thought that they now were going to silence him, they would no longer hear from him anymore, Sister Ernestine. And then once they saw him come off that cross, his lifeless dead body, we see that Joseph of Arimathea asked for his body. And he took it and put it in his tomb. And when he put him in the tomb, what Joseph didn't realize was that Jesus wasn't going to need it for very long. Oh, somebody going to work with me. You see, because they thought that they took the fight out of him. But I want you to know the fight was just getting started. Because don't you know that once he left the earth for a minute, he went down to hell, kicked the doors open, snatched the keys, and said to the devil, I dare you. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. We serve a God who is a fighter. And then early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Why? Because he lets you know, I've already won the fight. I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I have given you the victory. You are more than a conqueror. So don't you dare try to give up. And you need to know who you are fighting. So, Gamaliel is looking, and he's trying to be very politically correct. Because when you're trying to be politically correct, you're afraid of how the journalist's going to write down what you say. Because, you know, every now and then they're going to take your words and they're going to. So in order to be politically correct, he said, I got to say this in a way it's not going to offend them, but put them on notice that what is going on is not from man. But if he had just said that, they would immediately wanted to dismiss him. And brother was liking his position as being on the Sanhedrin. He wasn't ready to give up that position because, you know, he was eating high off the cab because, you know, he wasn't eating no hug. He was doing right well. So he was trying to be politically correct. But what he did is that he saw the writing on the wall. Because when he saw the other two who led a revolt, once they were dead, guess what? They were dead. But something happened with Jesus. He was dead, but he's now alive. And he could see that for himself. And what he was trying to let his brothers know, that guess what? What little control you think you got, you ain't had it in the first place. The only one that appointed you and anointed you to do what you do is God. But since you now have gotten in your position and think you're all that and a bag of chips and that don't nothing move unless you tell it to blow, I'm here to tell you the only person that's in control is nobody but God. He is the God of all that takes place. He's allowing us to be here right now. So what he was saying to Gamaliel, you better go on and let them know they're about to get it twisted. I blessed them and put them there, but they are forgetting that I am God. And when I want to change something, I don't need your permission. Did you hear that? So in essence, he was alerting Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel might not have been in agreement with it all, but what he could see was that the writing was on the wall. And if you fight against God, I want you to know, there's no way you're going to win. All right. You know, the truth be told, you know, we all did fight against God. Some of y'all looking at me, going to be looking at me a little crazy for a second, but all of us have fought against God. Let me tell you how we fought against God. When the Lord was coming and knocking on our door, we said, no, I ain't got time to go to church. I ain't got time to praise God. I ain't got time to do this. You were fighting against God. When the Lord brought somebody in your path and wanted you to help them, you ain't have time to help, and you were fighting against God. Do you know who you are fighting? But the beauty about us right now is that now we know we ain't fighting against God no more. Because when we call on the name of Jesus, when we embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, we're no longer fighting against God, but know that the Lord has put up a good fight for us. And since he put up a good fight for us, every last one of us who knows Jesus, we are now saved. We have the victory. We are conquerors. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody glad that God fought for you? But let me show you something. Can you go with me for a minute? You see, what was happening here is that Gamaliel saw this. And now, when he spoke, he was like an E.F. Hutton of his day, which really was nothing but a commercial anyway. When he spoke, they knew that he was a teacher of the law. And you know, the reality is, he might have taught many of those who were on the Sanhedrin with him. This brother was one of the top teachers of his time, and he was in Jerusalem teaching the Old Testament. And what he was letting them know, what is happening right now is bigger than all of us. Do you understand that whenever God blesses a church, send folk our way, it's not about us. It's about God working in us, through us, and around us. Whenever good things are happening, even when I look up in this choir loft and I see all these young people up here, I tell you, it's nobody but God. I don't toot nobody's horn but God's. And when we continue to toot the horn of the Lord, don't you know that's when we see God continue to bless us even more? Because you know what we come to find out? God says, you know what? Now I can trust you. You see, because when you make it about you, then God says, I can't trust you. You see, because if I give you any more, then it's going to still be more about you. You see, one of the things we got to understand that no matter where we started, look at where we are right now. And now where we look at where we are right now in our own individual lives and collectively, we know it's nobody but God who brought us this far and has kept us from danger seen and unseen. You know, when you realize that, yes, I've been shot, but guess what? I am still here. Yes, I was in a medically induced coma for 9.5 days, but I am still here. I know I had some good doctors working on me, but I know it was nobody but the Lord who was fought the good fight for me and allowed me to be here right now. If you were on an operating table and they cracked your chest open and did bypass surgery on you, it was nobody but God fighting for you. When they tried to tell you you couldn't go no further because of the whatever, it was nobody but God that was fighting for you. And since God fought for you, how are we going to sit up in church and act like God ain't done nothing for us? God did the fighting. That's why we are still here. Somebody ought to say thank you. You see, Gamaliel wanted his brothers to know, y'all, it's bigger than us. And since it's bigger than us, leave it alone. Because since it's bigger than us, you can't stop it from growing. All right. If it ain't nothing about it, it's going to kill itself. So you need to just step out the way and just be quiet. Because if it's from God, you can't win. If it ain't from God, you ain't got to try to win. Because God going to take care of it. But I want us to understand today as the people of God. I want you to know. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're a fighter. You see, I want you to know as a child of God, you have to be a fighter. And we have to understand that the fight ain't in the house. We ought not to fight one another. We ought not to bite one another. We ought not to throw daggers at one another. We ought not to run others' names in the mud. We got to understand that you are important and I am important. And we got to learn how to get all on the same page and make sure we're lifting up the one who fought for each and every one of us. Because the only time change is going to come is when the people of God come together as one body in Christ. There's no fighting here other than us fighting and praying for those that visit that don't have a church home or don't know Jesus. But everything else, we got to be able to move forward together as one. And when we move with Christ, we have to understand something. There's a fight. But I want you to understand the first fight that occurred is the fight that we had with ourselves. Think about it. When we came to Jesus, we had to fight our way through our own stuff. We had to fight through our own embarrassment. We had to fight through our own frailties. We had to fight through our own devices. We had to fight through our own low self-esteem. We had to fight through whatever in us. And we had to call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Don't you know when you did that, that was the first fight that you did that truly brought about great results? Because that means you were no longer lost. Because you know why you had to fight? Because when you're in the dark and you don't know where you're going, the Lord brought the light to the darkness. And when you saw the light, you started fighting to get to the light. Even though something inside of you was saying, boy, you can't change. You can't be no better. But you had to fight through the darkness and make your way to the light. And once you got to the light and that light got in you, don't you know that's what the Lord wants you to understand? That now you got to go out and shine your light bright wherever you go. Which in essence what the Lord is saying, you got to fight with faith and with love. That's what we fight with. Mother Austin, we got to fight with faith. Mother Austin, we got to fight with love. Because we want folk to know, don't matter what, God still loves you. And when you look at me, you might see me looking the way I am right now. I ain't always been what I am. But I thank God that somebody fought the good fight of faith and love and brought Jesus Christ to me. And once that happened, it changed me. So what we got to learn how to do is to continue to fight the good fight for the Lord. And the way that we fight the good fight is that we got to recognize the fight is not in here. Amen. The fight is out there. Because if we make the fight here, you know what happens? If we make the fight inside the house, by the time we leave the house of God, we're so tired, we limping, and there's somebody you see who was in need. You look at them, ain't no, ain't too much I can do for you right now. I'm just too weary and tired because I've been fighting too much in the house that I ain't got no energy to fight outside the house. Don't you realize that there are people who are dying and who are starving spiritually? Why? Because of the fact that there's too much fighting in the house of God and not enough fighting on the outside. You know, we understand that there might be a little rift every now and then, but we recognize that our ultimate goal is to lift up Jesus and to save souls. Don't you know we once were lost, but now we've been found, and we got to take the fight out there because there's somebody who has no hope. There's somebody who is in despair. There's somebody who's willing to give up. But as the children of God, we got to take the fight to them and let them know that there is a better way. You can put down that crack pipe. You can stop swinging on that pole. I'm here to tell you, there's a healer in the land. There's a deliverer in the land. There's a helper in the land. There's a difference maker in the land. And his name is. But in order for them to know that, we got to take the fight to them and let them know there is an answer. And his name is. When we know who we are fighting, we are fighting the enemy. But we are not fighting with the weapons of warfare that other folk use. We have spiritual weapons that we utilize because it's not about us. It's all about who?
Jesus.
And since it's all about Jesus, don't you know Jesus already told us that there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper? I don't care what they try to do against you. The Lord has already built a hedge around you. Don't you know that the Lord has made a way out of no way? All you got to do is continue to walk by faith and not by sight. And you got to remind yourself, I already have the victory. I've already been healed and delivered. Now I got to take the fight to the streets and allow my light to shine to let somebody know. Here's the way. His name is.
Jesus.
You see what we're all about, y'all? When we keep Jesus at the forefront, when we allow the Lord to be the one leading us and we're following him, I want you to know you don't ever have to be concerned that the Lord is going to cause you to walk off a cliff. Don't you know that wherever the Lord takes you, it's going to take you to what needs to be done? Don't you know how the Lord moves in your life? He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't you understand that you serve a God who has all power in his hands? Don't you know you serve a God who said that no man can pluck us out of his hand? Do you understand that the Lord is the one who woke you up this morning? Do you recognize you're in your right mind because the Lord has blessed you? Do you know that the Lord knows the number of hairs on your head? Do you understand that it is the Lord who's been blessing you and your family? Do you recognize where would you be without Jesus? And now that you have Jesus, that's why when we come up in this place, I ain't going to sit down and shut up. I'm going to give him the praise. I know who I am fighting. I know who's trying to hurt me. But I'm going to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. The enemy has no place in us. So I said, we know who we're fighting. We know we've already won. Have you already won the fight? If you know you won, you ought to rise to your feet. You ought to give him some praise. Because we serve a God who has given us the victory. We have already won. Who are you fighting? The enemy. And we're going to let the enemy know it every time. Yeah. We're going to let our light shine. Because we serve a mighty good God. I don't care how you talk about me. Yeah. My past got some stuff in it. Yeah. I know I was messed up at one time. Yeah, I know I've been through this and I've been through that.
Thank you.
You know, Reverend Dab, I could imagine how some folk might have thought when you stood up there and said, you know what? Yeah, I done been shot. And when I was shot, I couldn't call on my mama, couldn't call on my daddy, couldn't call on my cousin who is dying right next to me. And I know some folks say, what kind of man we got there? You see, but you got to understand. And guess what? Brother don't got a criminal record. But I can tell you, sometimes we all can make a mistake. We can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I want you to know, at that time, we find out just how good God is. And when we put our trust in him, I say, look at the brother now. Look at what God has done. That's not just his story. That's your story. Because some folk thought you would never mount up to be worth two cents. But I guess what? God fought for you. And now you're fighting for the Lord. Look at you now.